Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Welcome back, everyone. Welcome to the meetings authorized to rise. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father, for these meetings. Thank you for what you're doing. We just praise your name. Let's stand and start praise and worship together this evening. Hallelujah.
I
Hallelujah. We praise you, Lord.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Oh, we praise your name. Thank you, Jesus. And the power of your love, I will testify of your mercies and your grace. I'll tell the world of your goodness and the power. Taken, I will testify of your mercies and your grace. I'll tell the world of your goodness and the power.
We sing again. I will
testify of your mercies and your grace. I tell the world of your and the power of your love.
Cause I'm a testimony.
Testimony. Testimony.
I'm a testimony.
Testimony.
Oh yes,
testimony.
Lord. I'm a testimony.
Testimony.
Hey,
testimony.
Lord, I'm a testimony.
Testimony. Testimony.
And I'm an overcomer.
Overcomer.
In you alone, I'm an overcomer.
Hallelujah.
worship you, God, we worship you, hallelujah. Praise your name, Lord, we praise your name. For you are God from beginning to the end. There's no place for argument. You are God all by yourself. From beginning to the end, there's no place for argument. You are God all by
yourself. Got times all together we sing.
You've got times and seasons in your hands. You call for light out of darkness.
Praise you, Lord.
You don't need a man to be the God you to call me your own. For you are God, you are God, from beginning to the end. There's no place for argument. You are God all by yourself.
Yes, Lord, you are God.
You are God, from beginning to the end. There's no place for argument.
Hallelujah!
You are God all by yourself.
We sing it again. Lord, you are God.
You are God, from beginning to the end. There's no place for argument. You are God all by yourself.
Yes, you are God, Lord.
You are God, from beginning to the end. There's no place for argument. You are God all by yourself.
Let's sing again. One more time, we sing.
You are God, from beginning to the end. There's no place for argument. You are God all by yourself. There's no
Yes, you are God. You've always been God. You will never, ever not be God. You are not God because we believe that you are God. You are God before there was time, before there was matter, before there was anything that is. For all that is came out of you. It is not our applause, our praise, our worship, our adoration that makes you who you are. The fact that we can even mention your name is a privilege. Father, we thank you for this wonderful privilege to have the presence of mind to know that you, the sovereign, that you are God all by yourself. There's no argument about this. All that is came out of you. You are the first and the last, Alpha and Omega, beginning and the end. You have the first word, you have the last word. And today we thank you that in you we are complete. In you we have life, fullness of life. All corruption, all decay is removed from us because your word is truth. Your word is light. Your word is life. Your word is healing. Your word is deliverance. We bless your holy name. We hear your call, the call to arise, the call to shine, because your glory is risen upon us. And tonight we celebrate your goodness. Tonight, oh God, we say thank you for loving us with an everlasting love. We thank you, Father, that in you we are complete. In you we are whole. In you we are blessed and highly favored. Blessed be your holy name. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege of access. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. In Jesus' name, we declare so. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I could hardly hear you. What's happening? Are you here? Okay. The bedrock for miracles is expectancy. It is what you expect that you receive. If you expect nothing, then you don't position yourself to receive. But whoever believes can receive what they believe in God for. Tonight, don't miss your opportunity to receive from God. Dead people even though there is oxygen all around them, because they're not breathing, they're dead. Yes? The presence of God can be here. If you don't receive it, you're dead. It is your expectation that brings about that force that propels you into an existence that is supernatural. Tonight, let expectation rise within you. Don't miss your opportunity tonight. Amen? You may be seated. It's good to see Pastor Kasim here tonight. Bless you, man of God. Hallelujah. Worship team, thank you. It's my honor and privilege to welcome a dear man of God to speak to us tonight. We have heard from him before, and I was deeply touched by the words that came forth out of the mouth of this son. The Son of the Most High God. Tonight, I count it a privilege to welcome Apostle God's Power, Uja. Praise the Lord.
Amen. Praise God, praise God, praise God. I'm excited. I'm just so joyed to be able to come to church today. And you know, servant of God, I want to wish you and the entire church a very happy resurrection period. This season is loaded and laden with the very presence of God. Is the reason why there is a Christianity. And I want to thank you for all the for all the many journeys you've gone for the sake of the gospel. We celebrate you. We celebrate your apostleship. We celebrate you as a gift to the body of Christ. And I want to thank the church for letting your pastor to be able to go into all the world to preach the gospel. You didn't catch him and squeeze him and keep him to yourself, but you've allowed him to go into all the world to be a blessing to God's people. I don't know whether you hear me very well. Can I hear an hallelujah in church if you hear me very well?
Hallelujah. Well, man of God, okay. I'm going to release you to just take us in, but I just want to celebrate you tonight and thank God for you. And the gift that you are to the body of Christ. We want to receive everything Father has placed in your spirit for us today. Your word is going to go forth like lightning tonight. Arrows are going to go forth powerfully tonight. And there are things that God is targeting. I see it in the realm of the spirit. And it's going to be explosive. There is going to be serious damage to the kingdom of darkness tonight. And the people of God are going to be greatly lifted up. Those that have been held down are going to rise. I see shackles being broken off this very moment. Thank you, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus. Weights are being lifted off. In the mighty name of Jesus. Katole preso kata mashaya.
Oh, thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you.
Go, Jesus. Son. Go. Take it.
Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. I'm excited to be home at the Glory and Peace Church. I consider this home, though I've not been there physically, but you know, there is no distance in the realm of the spirit. And I've been praying to God for this meeting. And I can say unequivocally that somebody's destiny, somebody's breakthrough, somebody's uplifting is connected to this service. If the devil could not stop Jesus from rising from the dead, then he can't stop you from being who and what God wants you to be. Now, The man of God says something very powerful right now. While he was talking, there is air everywhere, yet there are people who are dead. Now that suggests that because you heard God's word does not originally just mean your life changes. Life changes by application. As you apply what you hear, God begins to work in your life. So I want to thank God for you that are in church. And while you are there right now, in the next 1 minute or the next 30 seconds, you can invite somebody online right now. You can tell somebody that is around the corner, run to the church, because the power of God is about to fall like rain. Not only that, you can tell somebody, hook up right now, because God is about to talk to us in a supernatural way. Now, child of God, I need you to know something very serious. You see, the presence of soap, you know, soap they used to wash clothes and used to bath. The presence of soap does not guarantee that your body will be clean. No, the presence of soap does not guarantee that your clothes will be clean. You will have to use it. If you keep the soap there, it doesn't guarantee any type of cleanliness to you until it is applied. And not only applied, it is applied rightly. You see, things have to be applied correctly. You can decide to apply soap to your eyes. Instead of that soap to make you clean, it becomes a reason why you cry, because you're going to get hurt. So there is a right way to apply the word of God and to apply the things of God. I want to talk to you this hour from God, a word that is said, he finished it. If you want to write down the subject I'm dealing with, it is just titled, he finished it. Now, I need you to understand something. Life is not about starting something. Anybody and everybody can start anything. We see people who started a business and they close at the corner. We see people even begin a relationship. People who said, I love you. People who said, without you, I cannot live. People who said, your love is like a Fanta, like some Coke. Your love is like some nice drink I take. But in the few years, they are dragging each other to court and they are divorcing. Why? Because anybody can begin. It's not about beginning. It's about surviving and then finishing. Let me prophesy before I take the next words out of my mouth. I prophesy, but the anointing invested on me as a custodian of divine graces and ability, I decree that which God has begun in your life, he will complete it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That which God has started regarding your destiny, regarding your relationship, regarding your family, your children, God will bring it to fruition. The Bible said God said to Zechariah or Zerubbabel by the mouth of Zechariah in those days, he said, the hand of Zerubbabel has laid the foundation of this building, and his hand shall also finish it. I feel good. I feel to tell someone in church this hour that it doesn't matter how you started, there is a grace coming upon you that will give you capacity to finish it. And that's a good place to say amen. Glory to God. I want to use for a test tonight, as I stay within the ambit of my time, John's Gospel, chapter 19, and verse number 30. Now, I'll read from verse 29 and 30. John chapter 19, verse 29 and verse number 30. The Bible says this word. Now, there was a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar and put it upon hyssop and put it to his mouth. And the Bible says, Jesus, when he had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. That is what I like to sit on tonight. He finished it. It's a good thing to realize that you can put your life in the hands of God, and you are sure that your life will not crumble. You are sure that your life will not crash. You are sure that your life will be exactly what God wants it to be. Many of us sitting there listening to me under the sound of my voice, you have put your life in the hands of men. You have tried to depend on people, and you have watched people fail. You have tried to depend on bosses in the office or in the company, and you watch the company break your heart. You have tried to even depend on political structures, and we have watched them collapse before our faces. But can I present to you one who doesn't know how to fail, who does not know how to collapse, who does not know how to even get tired? His name is Jehovah. He's the maker of the universe. He's the God of all gods. He's the Lord of all lords. He's the Pantocrator, the Greek man we call. Are you listening to me? So wherever you are, where you came from, or you're listening, or you're connected, I came to tell you by the word of Elohim that he that has started a good work in your life, he would finish it. Can I get that hallelujah? But let's stay within the confine of that which we are, the season that we are at. We are at the Easter season. And I want to say something to you that I'd like you to listen to me closely. As beautiful as Christmas is, as beautiful as all the holidays of Christianity is, there is something about this season, the Easter celebrating season, and there is something about it. And I want to quickly submit before I go on that the miracle, the greatest miracle that God has ever wrought, is not in healing the sick, is not in raising the dead. Well, as much as we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus, which we're going to witness tomorrow Sunday, I want to submit to you that the greatest miracle was not even the resurrection. God and Jesus didn't consider the resurrection a miracle, because Jesus said in John chapter 11 verse 25, Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. The Greek word is anastasis. I am the resurrection. It means Jesus knew he was going to resurrect. Jesus knew that death could not stop him. Jesus knew that there is no power that can stop him in the grave. But the problem was not that he will resurrect. The problem was, how was he going to die? Because it is the wages of sin that is death. It is the wages of sin that is death. But there was no sin in him. So God needed to perform a miracle, because the body of Jesus was naturally resisting death, because sin was not inside him. The Bible said, Jesus said one day, he said, the prince of this world has come, but he has nothing in me. There was no sin in him. The Bible said, even when they came to the garden to arrest him, he went to them and said, whom seek ye? They said, we seek Jesus of Nazareth. He said, I am Jesus. The Bible said they fell. Why? His body was resisting arrest. Many times they tried to kill him. The Bible said they took him to go and throw him headlong. And all of a sudden, the Bible said he walked away out of their midst. He would just tell them, can you put me down? They will put him down, and he just threw away. They can't kill him. And God needed that. This price must be paid. Adam had caused sin to enter into this world. That is why you can be sick. That is why you can be in indebtedness. That is why barrenness can happen. And barrenness, ladies and gentlemen, is not only that you can't bear children. Barrenness is not the absence of children. Okay, I'm going to preach this. Barrenness is the absence of harvest. Can I say that one more time? Barrenness is not the absence of children. Barrenness is the absence of harvest. In other words, in order for something to be barren, you have to plant. When you plant, and that thing you planted, the ground cannot process it and germinate, it is barren. When you sow a seed into a woman and a capacity capacity cannot produce, it is called barren. So not only a woman can be barren or a man, a business can be barren, a career can be barren. And all these things were infused into life because of Adam. So when Adam sinned against God, the devil took hold. The reason why you can't sleep in the night is because of what Adam did. That's why there is pain in your spirit. That's why there is pain in your heart. That's why you can smile because everybody's smiling. But when you come to your house, you can't smile because there are bills to pay. You can't smile because there are indebtedness. You can't understand your life. How can I work so much and there is nothing to show? How can I give so much and I'm being paid back in a bad coin? I know the feeling. When you invest so much in life and there is nothing to show, I know the feeling of when your relationship, you invest so much in the relationship and there is nothing to show. And most of the time you have to smile because others are smiling. You don't want nobody to know the pain you are going through, especially when you are in the, you are a person that people look up to. You see, when people look up to you, whether in the office or in the church or in life, when people look up to you, if you are not careful, your whole life will be clothed with pretense, because you can be in pain and yet nobody knows. You can be dealing with crisis and yet nobody knows. And I cannot submit to you, these things are not because exactly of what you did most of the time. The original cause is because of what Adam had done. So because of what Adam did, the Bible says sin entered into this world and God needed to clear it away. And there's going to have to be a price. So from sin reigned. Anybody who committed any sin has to die, because the wages of sin is death. And God needed to produce a miracle. And God needed to do something, because God needs his children to be able to be free from barrenness. You need to be free to take care of your bills and be a happy person. God wants your life to be okay. But every time you are trying, there is a power that is holding you back. There is a power you cannot understand. The witches are being empowered against you. Demonic powers are empowered against you. Occultic power are empowered against you. What is empowering them? It is sin. And so God has to do something, because there was a mighty problem here. The problem God had, because God now has a problem, not a challenge. It was bigger than the challenge. It's a real problem. God himself needs a miracle. Because right now, the problem was not that Jesus will he resurrect. The problem is, how will he die? God has, Jesus had to die. So how would he have to die? The Jews could not kill him. The Romans could not kill him. There was nobody that can kill him, because they had nothing against him. There is only one person that can kill him, because he needs to pay the price for sin, and that person was God. And the only way God could kill Jesus was to take my sin. Oh God, now I feel like I'm going to preach this. Is to take my sin and your sin, and indeed the sin of the whole world. And can I say this as it is? Jesus, God didn't just put the sin on Jesus. No, God converted Jesus to become sin. So Jesus became sin in itself. That was the greatest miracle God has ever done, is to make a human being to become sin. Jesus became sin. And 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21, the Bible tells us that he that knew no sin was made to be sin. He didn't become a sinner. No, excuse me. He didn't become a sinner. He became sin. Jesus became sin that you and I can be made the righteousness of God. So that Good Friday, which was yesterday, was the greatest of all times. It was what the devil could not understand. It was what the devil could not know. The Bible said in a way that when Jesus got to Gethsemane, may I quickly underscore to you that crucifixion is not dying. No, excuse me. Crucifixion is not dying. Crucifixion is a process. It is not death in itself. If it is just to die, they'll just shoot him an arrow, he would just die. But that would not have paid the price. He needed to be crucified because it is a process. It will take the entire process to be able to bring you to the place where you can say, I'm a child of God. It will be able to bring you to the place where you can say, for sin can no longer have dominion over me. It has to be an entire process. So what are the process that it would take for this job to be finished? Number one, it has to be betrayed. The betrayal is in the process. Can I underscore to you, an enemy cannot betray you. In order for betrayer to be betrayer, it has to be somebody trusted. If there is no trust, there can't be betrayal. The word betray actually means that I put my trust in you and then you turn your back on me when I didn't know and sold me out. And these are the processes that he needed to go through. He had to be betrayed. He's in the process of finishing the assignment. And apart from being betrayed, he needed to be denied. In order for the process to work, he needed to be denied. Not only to be denied, he needed to be scourged. These are all the process of the thing he had to pay. The man was counting out how he's going to finish up this job. And I'm going to come to that in a moment. So he had to be betrayed. And he had to be denied, and then he had to be scorched. And then you know the story of how he had to receive 39 stripes of whip and in order to get them. But before he got, before the blood came out from 39, he had to bring forth blood in the garden. The Bible says he prayed in the garden, and his sweat became as thick as blood. Now the question is, what was he doing praying and getting himself to get his nerve to break open and his blood to begin to pour out through the sweat gland? How did he have to get there? It's because he needs to come to the point where Satan can no longer have a hold over you so that you can sleep nicely. I feel it. There is somebody under the sound of my voice. You're listening to me in church. By the time we are done from this service, the disease will die out of your system. It's a good place to say amen. By the time we are done from this service, the power holding your finances, they will break loose and release your finances. I feel the anointing. As I'm speaking right now, there's a power in the atmosphere, killing every virus that ought not to be in your system, destroying every disease that is locked and lodged in your body, in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Can you shout an amen to that? And I need you to know that this Jesus, and all of a sudden, he had to pray in the garden, and all those, he had to be betrayed, he had to be denied, he had to be flogged, he had to carry the cross, and eventually he had to be nailed. And all these things are all in the process. They are all in the process called crucifixion. And the Bible tells us something. In what we read, when he was hanging between the heavens and the earth, suspended, because he had said, except I be lifted up, if I'm lifted up, I will draw all men to myself. And while they are doing all those things and laying all the curse upon him, and somehow there was a curse that was left, because he had practically carried everything. He had been scourged, he had been flogged. The Bible says he was wounded for our transgression, Isaiah 53 verse 5. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we were healed. Now, all these are all in the payment, but somehow the Bible says something. While Jesus was going to the cross, when he was already dressed and all the mockery was still happening, somebody went to go and plait a thorn. Somebody went to where thorns and thistles were gathered, and somebody just plucked out a thorn. And they thought they were trying to make life difficult for him. They had no idea that they were fulfilling the purpose of God. Because when God brought a curse on human being when they sinned, I'm sure you know this already, God cursed the woman. God cursed the serpent, but God could not curse the man. God cursed the woman, God cursed the serpent, but God could not curse the man, because if he cursed the man, redemption would be lost. So God didn't curse Adam. What did God do? God looked at Adam. Instead of pronouncing a curse on Adam, he pronounced the curse on the ground. He said, curse be the ground for your sake. He cursed the woman directly, he cursed the serpent directly, but he could not curse man directly. So he cursed the ground. He said, curse be the ground for your sake. He said, thorns and thistles will it bring out, and you will suffer before you get anything you want. And now Jesus was going to the cross, and God says, I got to take this curse that I put on this earth. I got to take it away, because Jesus has to pay the price completely. And so, and the Spirit of God moved upon a soldier. He went to some thorns and thistles, and he gathered the thorns, and he gathered the thorns, and plaited the thorns into a crown, and they put the crown on his head and began to mock. Little did they know that they carried the curse that God put on the earth. They carried that cross, that curse, and put it on Jesus, because he must go to the cross with everything. He must finish everything. He must take away the curse. That's why I can submit to you, like a lawyer would submit to you, that by the death and resurrection of Jesus, thorns and thistles are canceled from your life. Who said you have to win some and lose some? Who said as a child of God you go up and come down? Who said, you know, you hear people say, you know, every day cannot be nice. Some days are bad, some days are good. It's not in the Bible, child of God. The Bible said the path of the just is like a shining light that shineth brighter and brighter to a better day. Let me submit to you that by virtue of this season, your days of sorrow are over. Now I feel like dancing. Oh my God. I'm announcing to you by the power of the Holy Ghost that your days of pain, your days of sorrow, your days of asking where is God, those days are over in your life. That's a good place to shout amen. And the Bible says with a crown on his head, he has carried everything. And then now the man, he was hanging between heaven and earth. He was on the cross. Nobody knew what was happening. They thought they were punishing a man, but the man was already there, and God was finishing the metamorphosis. God was finishing the metamorphosis. Just as he went and stood in the gap, the Bible says he transfigured between before Moses, before the three disciples, and then Moses and Elijah appeared. And his body began to change, began to transfigure for them to see. In the same way on the cross, he began to transfigure, but our eyes could not see him. The only being that could see him was the Father and Satan. He began to transfigure while on the cross. All of a sudden, he ceased to be a human being. It became sin. It became sin on that cross. The moment he became sin, the Father could not behold sin. The Father wasn't seeing him anymore. So the Father turned his face, because the Father cannot behold sin. That was where Jesus cried, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani. My God, why do you have to turn away your face from me? God says, I'm sorry, son. I can't behold sin. This is who you have become. So while Jesus was there, everything about me was there. Everything about you was there. Whatever is called sin was on that cross. The Bible says in Colossians chapter 2 and verse 14, the Bible says, he blotted out the handwriting that was written against us and nailed it to the cross. Glory to Jesus. Hallelujah. To the Lamb of God. And right in that place, it wasn't done yet. The Bible says he needed to give birth to the church. The church needed to be born. I'm getting ready to close. The church has to be born. And so the rib, God had to take away the rib so that he can create a woman, a wife for Adam. And while he was hanging on the cross, the Spirit of the Lord stimulated a soldier. And the soldier went to where he was and took a spear and pierced his side. And he pierced the side so that he can touch the liver and the lung and even the kidney, so that there would be a mixture of blood and water. So the Bible says, blood and water gushed out from the side so that the church can be born. Everything he did was deliberate and purposeful. And the Bible says all of a sudden, just to wrap up this issue, I said to you, he finished it. He didn't do it and left. He didn't leave anything undone. He finished it. And right on that spot, Jesus taught about me and all the bitter times I have had. I want to ask you, listening to me in church, have you had some bitter experiences? Have you had some things you go through that you can't tell anybody? Have you gone through some things where you can't even say? Because if you tell people, they will look down on you. They rate you too high for you to go through those things. So you keep it to yourself. Have you ever had nights that you could not sleep because there are matters you could not solve? Have you had situations where you could not explain your pain and you are in a real bitter state? Jesus saw that coming. So what did he do? The Spirit of God stimulated the guy. And the Bible says they took, as at that time, the most bitter of substance, the most bitter of experience, the most bitter of thing was the vinegar. So they took the most bitter of thing. The Bible says it where we read. And a soldier took it by the cup when he said, "A test." And the owner of life, the one that made all the sweet things in the world, the one that made the beauty of life and the most glorious things, he said, "I was thirsty." And guess what they gave him? They gave him the most bitter thing. He needed to take it so that I can enjoy the sweetness of life. If he refused to take that vinegar, there is no guarantee to my success and sweetness. If he refused to take that vinegar, there's no guarantee of my celebration. So he needed to complete this thing. The thing Adam cursed, Jesus needed to finish it and complete it and completely pay completely. And so we see this soldier go to where the cross was and took the high Bible said and put it on his mouth. And when Jesus took the vinegar, and we have read, the Bible says, therefore, John chapter 19, verse 30. When Jesus, therefore, had received, I want you to see that word, received the vinegar. When he had received, the word is lambano in the Greek. The word lambano means to take off something, to carry it. It's not forced on you. You don't lambano things that are forced on you. It's something you chose to take. It's something you deliberately carried. Can I submit to you, as I begin to think of closing, that Jesus was not killed? I know you may not understand that. Jesus was not killed. Don't let anybody tell you that. He wasn't killed. He died. There is a difference between to be killed and to die. To be killed means it was against your will. If you kill somebody, means the person wasn't ready to die. But Jesus was not killed. He died. It was a matter of choice. Whatever he did was deliberate. So when he took the vinegar, Bible says, when he had lambano, when he had received the vinegar, the Bible said, when he had received the vinegar, he said, "It is finished." What is finished? The hold of Satan over your life is finished. I feel like you should begin to dance in church. Do you know what it means for you to be told that all the debts you owe has been paid? Do you know what it means to be told that you cannot go and free, that the person who is coming to knock your door, the people calling you up to embarrass you, all of a sudden you're already free, that it has been paid? Excuse me. It's something to dance about. Jesus said, "It is finished." When he said so, the Bible says he bowed down his head and he gave up the ghost. He yielded. Now, let me close by quickly telling you few things that are very important, because you see, when that Jesus finished it does not ordinarily mean that everything is done for you or for me. No, like we say, soap has been made available, but you are the one that is going to have to take your bath, all right? The soap is available, but you must use it and use it right. Jesus has died. He had paid the price. And there are three basic things that you and I need to do before we begin to see it work and work and work in our lives. Number one, I want you to write it down, which I know, I think you know it, but I need you to write it down. The first thing you need to do to appropriate this finished work of Christ in your life is to accept it. Now listen to me, and listen to me well. I didn't say to agree. I said to accept. There is a difference between to agree and to accept. You see, there are people who agree that Jesus died for everybody. They even agree that Jesus died for them. They can tell you Jesus died for all of us, but you see, they've not accepted it or accepted him. You know why? Because acceptance brings responsibility. The moment you accept, you become responsible, and responsibility produces accountability. And the average human being don't like to be accountable. We want to do what we like. We want to live the way we like. But you see, the moment, the first thing that can make this work in your life, this thing Jesus did to work in your life, is that you must, number one, accept it. You must accept this as real in your life. You must accept it. There are many people who go to church. They agree that Jesus has died, but they've not accepted many things. They've not even accepted the things Pastor is saying. Because if you have accepted every teaching you have learned, your life will not be the way it is. Because you see, once you accept something, the next thing that shows you have accepted is that you become responsible for it. And when you become responsible, you become accountable. It means that you can't do what you like anymore. You can't live the way you like anymore. It's beyond you now. That's what acceptance is. So the first thing is to accept that Jesus Christ died for me and rose again from the dead, and I belong to him. It's an accepting that you must understand. You see, there are many of us that come to church. You've been coming to this church for some time, and there are many instructions that have been given. Pastor has preached so many messages, decrees, so many decrees, and some people get blessed, some people don't get blessed. Do you know the difference? Acceptance. Because the moment you accept, the next thing you ask yourself is, am I supposed to do about what I've heard? I must accept it. So the key number two, the first key is to accept. The key number two that makes this thing work in your life is that you will have to tell people about it. Other people must know that you have encountered a Savior. Now, can I just paint a scenario to you? Okay, I still have some few minutes, maybe like 5 minutes, but let me paint a scenario to you. Now, suppose you owe, or somebody you know owes, somebody around you owes some money. He's owing somebody very big money, and the money is so big that he's embarrassed. The last time you saw maybe you were working with the person, you're working together, and the people the person owes meets the person, and they're embarrassing the person. They embarrass the person, insult the person. You are a debtor, you are owing. And the person said, you ask, how much are you owing? And the person say, I'm owing them $10,000. Oh, he said, if I have $10,000, I would have helped you to pay. I would have paid for you. And you're so sad that you couldn't help the person to pay, and he's owing $10,000. And because of that, he's so embarrassed. He can't go through certain paths. He can't do certain things. The people are constantly embarrassing him. And you get home, and your face is moody, and you have a father, and your father says to you, son or daughter, why are you moody? He said, Dad, I experienced something today that's so bad. It's so bad. What happened? He said, do you know that my friend? Your father said, yes, I know your friend. He said, today I was going out with my friend. My friend was embarrassed. My friend was embarrassed because he bought something he couldn't pay, and they embarrassed him so badly. Your dad says, all right, take me to the place. And you took your dad to where the person is owing. And your dad said, how much are you owing? And how much are they owing you? He said, $10,000. And your dad brings the money and paid the people and took the receipt that they have been paid, that your friend is no longer owing. And then your father gives you the receipt and say, now go and tell your friend that he is free. He can do whatever he like. He can go to wherever he like. And then present the receipt that his debt has been paid. Just go and tell him, my dad has paid your bills. You can go do anything. And your father gave you the receipt, and you put the receipt in your pocket and refuse to tell your friend. Are you not wicked? Oh, you're wicked because your friend is not living in fear. Your friend is still living in fear. Your friend can't do anything. And the receipt is in your pocket, and your friend is still going through all the stress. Hey, boy, you're wicked. God expects you that I have paid the bills. Go tell them. Tell them, look at your receipt. It has been cleared. That's what evangelism is. Evangelism is going to tell people that their sins has been paid for. It is finished. The third key before I go out of your face this evening that is so necessary. Number one, accept it. Number two, tell people. Number three, appropriate it. Appropriate it. Live like you are free. Live like, don't, you see, when you live in fear, when you live in pain, when you live in lack, you are trying to say that what Jesus did not work. That what Jesus did had not benefited anybody. So you say, Pastor, how do I live like, how do I live like I am free? How do I live like things are broken? You use your mouth. Speak the right words. Be bold. Speak like things are okay with you. Act like things are okay with you. Because truth be told, Jesus finished everything when he said it is finished. Hallelujah. Can I get you to stand up on your feet, everybody? Glory to God in the highest. Blessed be Jesus. Glory to God in the highest. I'm going to give you a few minutes to raise your voice to God and begin to talk to Jesus and begin to thank him. Begin to thank him for what he did for you and I. Begin to thank him. I'm going to pray for some people in the next few minutes. I'm going to call you to come to the altar and I'm going to pray. I want you to begin to thank God. Begin to thank him for what he's done. Begin to thank him for what he did for your life, for what he did for you. The soap is here. Use it. Bathe yourself because the soap is here, the water is here, and you can be clean because Jesus already made it available. Begin to thank him. Are you thanking him? Thank him for taking the nails for you. Thank him for taking the scourges for you. Thank you that he was betrayed, but he didn't still give up. Thank him for every single thing that he has done for you. Child of God, nobody goes to hell again because they sin. They go to hell because they reject Jesus. Now you are accepting Jesus as your life, Lord and your Savior. You have accepted him as your Lord. Thank him. Begin to give him the glory. Begin to give him all the praise. Hallelujah. Begin to give him all the praise. Begin to give him all the glory. The Bible says it is finished. The Greek word is teleo. Teleo means concluded. There is nothing that can be added. It means to conclude something. Nothing can be added to it. Nobody can proof on the work of Jesus. That is why there is no new edition Jesus. There is no modernized Jesus. There is no 2020. There is no Gen Z Jesus. Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. Now, I want to pray for a certain class of persons. You feel overweight. You feel something is bothering you. You feel that you have tried. You've prayed over this matter. It's not going. And you want God, there's an anointing, the atmosphere is charged, anything can happen, any good thing can happen. You feel oppressed, you feel depressed, you feel like I shouldn't be, these bills should not be on my shoulders anymore, I should get a better life, I should get a better job, I should be settled. All this battle, I'm tired of them, I want God, I want to appropriate the death and the resurrection of Jesus in my life. If you are there, I'd like you to walk to the altar, walk close to the altar, leave where you are and come close to the altar. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Camera people, if you can let me see part of that few people that are coming to the altar, I'll be so glad to just see one or two people coming to that altar. And then we are going to pray. I want to speak a prayer over your life. And God Almighty will do unusual thing in your life. Hallelujah. My God, glory be to the name of Jesus. If you are having any burden, anything bothering you, any kind of thing that has been a pain and a bother, walk to that altar. This is an altar of God. God lives in this church. God is in this place. Glory and peace. It's not just a joke. As you have come to that altar, begin to tell God, I don't want to cry this cry anymore. I don't want to stay in this pain anymore. Nobody knows what I go through, but you know what I go through. The death and resurrection of Jesus happened, and I can't continue in sin. I can't continue in this depression. I can't continue in this disease. Diseases will die. It will jump out of your body right now. It doesn't matter how long it's there. You will go back to the hospital. They won't find that thing in your body. Cancer cell will die. Rheumatism, high blood pressure, sugar, diabetes, it will die out of your body. Indebtedness, it will die from your body. You're trusting God for your documents matter to be settled. Heaven will intervene for you in an unusual way. God will show to you that he is God. Are you ready for me to pray? Put your hands on your chest. Let's trust this Lord Jesus together. Don't forget, you become responsible. Don't be an irresponsible Christian. Don't be a Christian that nobody can control. Nobody can talk to you. Your pastor cannot talk to you. No, once you give your life to Jesus, you are responsible and you are accountable. There is a physical man who has become our pastor that God has put there for us to be accountable to. If you live a life like there is nobody you're accountable to, then you are making a mistake. But I want to pray with you. Put your hands on your chest. Thank you, precious Holy Ghost. I see the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Bagrosh kanta lahi kabadi, mindra kata barusa bakata lete liga dabashata, bakuta brakate lezegede batuka bayate, linda zakata baya. In the name that is above every other name, I rebuke that devil out of your life. In the name of Jesus, Satan, take away your hand from these young women, these ladies, these brothers and sisters. Lose your grip in the name of Jesus. I declare you healed. Healed in your body, healed in your spirit, healed in your soul, healed in your life. Be healed spiritually, be healed financially, be healed emotionally, psychologically be well. I decree it by the power of the Holy Ghost in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. It is done. Go ahead and give God praise. Give God praise. Give God praise. Oh, hallelujah. Man of God, Apostle, I thank God for your life. Bishop, thank you so much for God using you to put this meeting together. I give God praise for you. And thank you for giving me this platform to share his word and to bring his power to God's people. Thank you. God bless you.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Oh, my. Father, we are thankful for that which we've received.
Glory to God.
We are thankful the lives have been changed, transformed right here, locally and globally.
Amen.
We give you praise for this word that has come to set the captives free. Blessed be your holy name, Father.
Glory to God.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Amen.
Oh,
man of God. Oh, my.
Glory.
You preach like this all the time?
The anointing of the Holy Ghost is here. The glory of God is in this place.
Ooh, Jesus is Lord. That's amazing. Thank
glory
you. Thank you for unveiling the word of God to our understanding so that we can boldly say, it is finished.
Amen. He finished it completely. Glory to God.
It's been completed.
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
You know, there was a word the Lord gave to me, I don't know how long back now. It asked me a question, and it was reminding me about it earlier today. The question was, do you know why I was buried for 3 days? I said, no, I know you were. You rose again from the dead on the third day. I said, why, Lord? He said, on the first day, which was yesterday, I took care of the issues of your past.
Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God.
On the second day, I took care of the things of your present. On the third day, I took care of everything in your future.
Glory, 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 glory. Hallelujah. Glory,
said, glory. Son, you need
God.
Not worry about anything. It is finished. It's
God.
Complete. And I, as you preach the word of God today, you know, I wanted to get off my seat and start running around this place. But I said, you better
glory
behave yourself before they hold you down and say, what's wrong with our pastor?
Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Now, that's the word of the Lord. Thank you for sharing it with us and reminding us once again that he paid the full price for our redemption. That the most difficult thing was for Jesus Christ to die.
Yes.
Because
it was
he had no wages of sin on him.
No.
So God had to do it. Take all of my sins, your sins,
glory to God,
and put it on him and made him become sin.
Yes, indeed. Mm. Yes, indeed.
Wow.
Glory to God. Glory to Jesus. Hallelujah.
That is awesome. Let's give a good clap offering unto the Lord God Almighty. As I was driving here this evening, I saw a van in front of me. It was dirty. The back screen or whatever? Glass.
The windscreen.
The glass.
Okay, the glass.
Windshield. Whatever it is called. Anyway, it was dirty, and the guy wrote, "Jesus loves you," on it. And I'm thinking about it. Jesus loves you. I'm saying Jesus loves you. And then I thought, Jesus loves you or Jesus loves me? What is it? If I'm saying Jesus loves you, I'm saying it's about you. Jesus loves you. Then I thought, maybe you should write, Jesus loves me. Then when I say Jesus loves me, it will be about me. But then if he writes that, then people are going to say he's an arrogant fool. So I thought, what should we do about this? Maybe it's Jesus loves you and me.
Yes, indeed.
Well,
yeah, indeed, yeah.
We need to evangelize.
Yes. We need to tell them. We shouldn't keep the receipt in our pockets.
No, I like that. That was so good. I said, my, that was hot. You kept the receipt in your pocket. Get that receipt out of your pocket. Somebody needs to know that the price has been paid.
Glory to God, yes.
Are you going to do that?
Yes.
Saints, are you going to do that? Do this. Put your hand in your back pocket. Pull that receipt out. And say, I'm going to hand it over to the persons that need to have it.
True.
Amen?
Amen.
You going to do that right now? By faith, we command that those that receive this receipt right now, in the mighty name of Jesus, accept their freedom and declare that Jesus truly is Lord. Amen? Let's give a shout unto the Lord.
Hallelujah.
That's a very weak shout. I say, give a shout unto the Lord. A little bit better, but I think we can do better than that. If you know that God paid the full price for your redemption, shout a shout unto the Lord. Hallelujah! Amen. Amen. Thank you, Apostle God's Power. You're looking really sharp.
Thank you.
Amen. You look like a king's son.
Amen.
Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Let's celebrate the gift of God. Amen, 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 amen. Thank you so very much. We'll talk again. But before we leave this house tonight, we need to honor God. We need to honor God with the substance of grace that is given to us. If we are sons of the Most High and we have his DNA in us, then we must also display the character of God. And his character is that of one who gives sacrificially. He makes things happen. Amen? So tonight, let's give sacrificially unto the Lord. And as we do so, do it with a joyful heart. Heart of thanksgiving. The joy of my life today is the privilege of giving. I love that now. Once upon a time, I did not understand that. But that's changed. Because it displays the character of God, giving. God so loved, he gave. Say with me, God so loved that he gave. Your love is demonstrated by your giving. So tonight, let us honor God, giving generously unto him, expressing our thanks for the privilege. If you go to see a king, you don't bring him something shabby. You give him something that is worthy of who he is, your best. And tonight, let's give the best that we can unto the Most High, so that he can bless us exceedingly, far beyond anything we dare ask or think. Your giving is not only a demonstration of your love for God, your giving is also a demonstration of your trust in him, that he is your provider, that you need not be afraid. And therefore, you have no need to hold back from him, but entrust him with all that you can. And he will, without fail, show himself strong on your behalf. Tonight, come, honor the Lord with your giving. Arise with me. Father, tonight, by the word of decree, I declare, as your point man in this house, I declare, O God, that your word that has gone forth accomplished that which it is sent for. That every man, every woman, every boy, every girl here present, and those not present but connected to this house. I pray, Lord, O God, tonight that your word strikes at the very heart of every circumstance that's been in their path challenging them. And Lord, oh God, that it explodes and destroys those strongholds. I declare, oh God, that all shackles be shattered and removed. I declare, Father, that your healing graces flow freely and richly, that that which you have already done be made manifest in every life. Lord, oh God, tonight, may your people truly say, I am free because Jesus finished the work of my redemption, my salvation, my healing, my deliverance, my peace, my wholeness. Lord, we give you praise that it is so now done. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. You may be seated for a moment. We'll dismiss those that are on other platforms, YouTube, Reddit, Gab, Facebook Live, and on all the platforms.